The specialists are back, and tonight we are breaking down the finale of The Trust, A Game of Greed, the exhilarating, overly exciting, so many things happen finale. So, you know, look, I'll give my shout outs to other podcasters when necessary. Rob Cesternino said today this could have been an email, and my God, could this have been an email? They made us wait a week for this episode after they dumped 4-3. So it was interesting that they would go four episodes, then three episodes, and then they dropped this one on its own. And I get it's the finale, but what the hell did I miss, man? Like, why would you drop this alone? And how is this how the show allowed their season to end?
Yeah, I'm with you completely. Like, it would have made a little bit more sense if this ended and there was like an episode before it or two episodes before it. So maybe you do like a 3-2-3 or a 3-3-2, but a 4-3-1 when this is your finale is absolutely insane. And now I'm sitting here thinking, I don't know if this show ever gets another season. Like, I really don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how you give it one if that's how it's going to end. I mean, this really proved how bad could it go, right? Like, you think about that with a lot of reality TV shows. Their biggest concern in the first season is, will we get a worst case scenario? And then you ask yourself, well, what is the worst case scenario? The worst case scenario for The Trust is bad. Like, it is so bad. And like, I mean, we'll actually talk about what made it so bad. But Noah Salmond with the question of the night right here, right off the bat, why did they wait until after voting to reveal that someone took the offer? They had already removed the drama from the game when they announced that somebody took the offer.
That's a great point. It was one of my first thoughts as well. I think it comes down to like fairness and how they've kind of played out this whole game. And we talked about this last week, how these tests in these what are they called, vaults, and these offers, they're all layered together really intricately, so that when Jay goes home and takes, you know, some amount of money, it's unknown to all the players so that it can cover Julie's tracks. Mm-hmm. And that Gasper, he can throw a stray vote on the Lindsay, and then, you know, we're not revealing whose else's votes got blocked, and it's all kind of working in unison. And we really praised the show for that. At least I did. I was really a big fan of that. And here, it was the exact opposite. It's like, I get, they're like, hey, let the person, whoever, you know, took the $25,000 or however much money it would have been, let that person have a chance to cover themselves instead of just outing them right away, because that doesn't really feel fair. So I like get it from that point. Mm-hmm. I just think, and I feel like we had a better ending in our heads last week when we were projecting how this would work. We tossed out a few ideas, but to have just a down the line trust ceremony, but this time we're doing it with envelopes and note cards, like, that's not enough. Because the biggest thing, I think the biggest takeaway from all of this, Phil, is that we got worst case scenario, right? What was best case scenario?
Yeah.
What, I mean, only one person could have gone home. I guess, okay, if two people flip, but with this group, when you're there, you know, it's like, it's either Tolu or nobody. Like, and that was the dramatic question for the audience, is was Tolu going to flip? And then your best case then is four people splitting the money and one person turning, and like, okay, that would have been at least something, but that still wouldn't have been all that good.
It didn't seem like it was set up for the same ending as the Traitors, where the Traitors was going to have it where anybody who disagreed would force a vote. If I'm understanding this correctly, it was just, okay, you're all going to vote one time. And if somebody gets knocked out, somebody gets knocked out. If nobody gets knocked out, nobody gets knocked out. But this is the last vote. There will be nothing that happens after this. Like, you can't even get revenge. Let's say Gasper got voted out, right? Let's say he goes. If Gasper gets voted out, it's not even like the guys can turn around and say, oh, well, we want to get rid of Tolu or Julie now because we know one of them voted Gasper out. They can't even do that. So I don't get it.
Right, but if you can do that and they know you can do that, then no one would vote in the first part anyway. What did we talk about last week? We had a couple ideas. I know one of them was similar to the Traitors. One of them was, I remember tossing out like a bidding mechanic, which they did use here, but they used it in like the dumbest way possible. I feel like it would have been more interesting if it was not just $25,000, but it was like the entire trust. And I pitched this out to you last week. Like, what if you can steal away from the trust, but it's the person with the lowest bid? And, you know, and instead of having this like maximum value, you have a minimum value. So your minimum value you have to steal is $25,000. And the person who bids the lowest, so it's like, if I want to take $100,000 for myself, I'm probably not going to get it, but I need to bid a lower amount. And then if two people or three people do $25,000, their votes cancel. So then it goes up to the next person, something, something like that. But we, what did we land on? Cause I thought we landed on something.
We were talking about like different ways that it would end with the prisoner's dilemma of somebody gets voted out. And at the first one, because the offer essentially forces them to vote somebody out or makes it so good that they can't not vote somebody out. And then you get down to four and now it's kind of getting the revenge on whoever. And then we get down to three and it's, hey, like, let's all just split this money. You get the one person who throws a vote, and then you get to a final two where people are sitting there saying, well, if you both vote to each other, then nobody gets the money. And if somebody, you know, I forget exactly what we did, but we pretty much got it down to a prisoner's dilemma.
Yeah, I remember the prisoner's dilemma. I thought we had something better, though, when there were like four or five people left.
We definitely had something better than this. The
I know. Why can't I remember it? I guess we have to go back. Well, I guess the listeners have to go back and you know, revel in our glory because we can't even think of it ourselves. But it was something where all four, it's maybe it was like the traitors, and it was like you can step forward and you can eliminate somebody. But I don't know.
Here's the biggest thing.
It's a tricky thing to end.
But there's a way that you can do it where you can kind of force people's hands. The biggest problem was that offer, the last offer, it wasn't anything. It didn't matter to the game because, like we said, like Noah says here, they didn't reveal that somebody had taken the offer until after the votes. And they should have given the option of like, hey, now that you know somebody took the offer, would you like to change your vote? Well, yeah, of course they would. That would create drama. But by that being the last offer, oh, well, we're all going to split it. 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 And then Tolu was like, no, I'm going to take the money because I want the money and I'm not going to tell anybody. Okay, great. There's no negative to Tolu doing that. There is literally no repercussions that can be brought onto her because it's too late by the time it's all over.
Right. Which I hear, I totally get that, but also it's like, for, and maybe they won't get a second season, for another season, then you're like really, you know, you're wary of the show like coming back to like screw you over. And we have seen some instances of that where they put your voting history in an envelope and it's on you to reveal it. You'll add money to the pot. But yeah, the offer to me also is like $25,000. It's like
not that much.
It's not that much. So it's like, and it's only one person's going to get it. So,
and I will say this, like, it's not that much because of the context. At that point, they're all splitting $268,000. So you're almost guaranteed 50 grand, or somebody takes 25 grand and you realize that you're still guaranteed 45 grand. So why would you take the extra 25 grand?
It went from 53 to 58.
It was 48.
Or 53 to 48. Sorry. Yeah. Because, yeah, it's not 25 because the person taking it already had $5,000 designated for themselves. So it's just you're taking $5,000 away from each person, which on a big game show, especially a big reality competition show like this, I mean, you see Family Feud, you see Wheel of Fortune, you see Jeopardy. They're winning, you know, $50,000, $60,000, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars on those shows. And those are one episode at a time. And then I know people stick around and play longer and they build up their winnings, but people win millions. That's game show. Those are episodes. Reality competition shows that are like season long, like usually you're walking out with, you know, I mean, Survivor's obviously a million, but you know, I think what Big Brother's 500,000. A lot of shows do 250, depending on, you know, the budget and the scope and size of the show. I'm not really sure what the challenge does. Maybe it's like 500,000.
The challenge or something. At this point, people are just getting money for being on the challenge.
Right. And that's it too. But it's like, you know, I'm going to take $5,000 away from you is not that big of a deal. That doesn't feel like I'm really putting, because I think Tolu was like, hey, a lot of these people have already taken offers. Like, I know for a fact Brian got 30 grand. I know that Julie got 15 grand. Like, why can't I get like my little bonus and I can still go to the end and be like, yeah, let's all split it and be hunky dory and we're all family and we trust each other. And that's not really what you want. You want it to be like kill or be killed at the end. And it felt like this was too easy of a track to just share everything.
Yeah, I agree. And that's like, when you're saying this whole taking away $5,000 thing, you know, you're sitting here and you say to yourself, okay, what would I do in that situation? I would have done $25,000, because then I'm either walking out with $25,000 plus the $45,000, or I'm walking out with maybe $53,000 and not knowing if somebody's going to vote me out or if there's going to be some other random twist in the game. I'm taking the $25,000, like no questions asked. I would have bid $25,000. I would have done it, because again, the negative to that is if you come off this show making $25,000 and then you kick yourself later saying, oh, that could have been 60, you know, or it could have been 53 or whatever it is. Yeah, you could do that, but you also left with $25,000. And she's 100% right. Brian already took 30. Julie admitted before this that she took 15. So screw Jake, screw Gasper. They didn't take anything. That's their problem. How can you really hold this against her? She's not the only one who did it. So yeah, to me, it's too easy. It was too simple. There wasn't actually anything to manipulate the players against each other with this offer. If you want to do that, make it be, you can bid up to $25,000, but you have to write your answer down in front of everybody, what you want to do. That doesn't mean it has to be revealed necessarily in front of everybody, but sitting there writing $25,000 in front of everyone might be enough to deter people from doing it. Doing it solo and being like, oh, Brooke, so you're telling me you're not going to tell anybody? That it doesn't.
But imagine if Tolu doesn't do that. Like, then you're getting no one taking the money in the test in the vault, the offer, and then no one eliminating. And then it's even more boring of a finale. So it's not like we don't want players to do it. I just don't think a final trust ceremony cliffside is how this show should end. And I think throughout the show, I did like it. You walked up, you anonymously said someone's name, one vote would send them home. I think the end just needs to be completely retweaked and figured out for the show to have a second season. Because by this point in the show, like, they've already eliminated six players, over half of them. It's not like these people were all trustworthy and nice and they messed up in casting. It's what happened was these people survived all these vote outs together. They relied on each other. So by this point in the show, when you're this many days in, they actually do have trust there. They actually do rely on each other and think, hey, let's just split it. And they honestly believe it. Whereas before, earlier on, when they didn't know each other and they had this trust, they were saying that, not meaning it, and, you know, kicking people out, which is what you want to see. You want someone to be super greedy and screw everyone else over and be like, ah, money's the root of all evil. People are naturally bad. You know, maybe you don't want that message. Maybe we should be sitting here and be like, wow, kudos to them. It's just not as entertaining.
Yikes.
Yeah. And also, too, I remember I've been saying this whole time, like, I'm very okay with multiple people walking away as winners. I think that's awesome. Like, I don't think so many of these shows, you know, obviously Survivor being the main one, it is a sole survivor. Someone has to conquer and become champion. And I think it's a breath of fresh air to say, hey, you know what? Multiple people can figure this out together. And I do like that concept. I'm not angry or upset that five people won. Mm-hmm. I'm more upset. I'm not that upset. Look, the show's in its first season. This is our third podcast on it, but I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Maybe, Phil, maybe that's the way disappointed.
Imagine if you watched this for 8 weeks and this is how it ended. You'd be going, I want to know why I wasted 51 minutes on 1.5 speed. So like what, 37 ish, 38 minutes. Why did I waste 38 minutes watching this episode? I enjoyed the first 7 episodes of this show. But you had to have come up with something. And like, well, I know you kind of are an idea guy. I know you've worked on some of these reality type TV shows. What is the easiest solution for this? Like, what was just missed at the end?
Well, I think what's missed, it can't be a straight up trust ceremony, especially when you're getting down to five. And it could be something too, where it's like, I'm okay with five people winning, but don't have that be the finale. Like, you need someone cut or eliminated in your last episode. You need to have that betrayal or that reveal or something, you know, to go a whole hour and just, you know, the five we started with is a five that comes out on top. And maybe that's the point of the show. And maybe, hey, that's what they went out and shot. And now we need to like strive home that we got this group of people that eliminated six of their fellow winners that they started this game with. Remember, everyone came into the show as a winner and they eliminated them, you know, one vote at a time, and they were very cutthroat and deceitful and distrust, you know, they were not trustworthy. And now they were able to come together and learn from each other and grow and everything. And like, that's the moral of the story, and that's fine. It's just not entertaining. So I don't know, Phil. Phil, we nailed this last week. I thought we just nailed it. I almost want to go up and listen right now and see if I can find it. Maybe you can kind of filibuster here for a second, because we had the solution and I felt so good about the solution that I was confident that that's what we were going to end up seeing on tonight's episode.
Yeah. I mean, so in one of our patron podcasts, we did it as the Survivor Rock Draw. And I don't remember if it was the one that we made public or not. It was the one where we were talking about the social game. So no, it wasn't. The social game one was our second Survivor Rock Draw, which I think actually might have dropped today. So there you go. That's good timing. I didn't even realize that. I just looked. But you said in there, we were talking about why can't they do a better job of editing the Survivor social players winning game? Erica, Michelle, why don't they do that? And you said, are they doing it because they can't figure it out, or are they doing it because it doesn't make good TV? Like, where they're ignoring it because it doesn't make good TV. And you said in that episode, this is not fair. It doesn't need to be fair. Not everybody has to get their screen time. Not everybody has to get everything. It has to be good TV at the end of the day. The trust with this ending, if this is the ending that the show wanted, shame on Netflix for greenlighting this show.
It's definitely not the ending they wanted.
But that's absolutely what I'm saying. Like, I know you were trying to like spin this in some sort of positive.
No,
like,
I'm saying once you get that ending and you shoot it and it's in the can and that's what people do, you then need to tell some, you need to put some narrative and story together. And, you know, they tried to sell this growth and change narrative for some of the people, at least Julie mainly, and then Tolu a little bit, that, you know, even the woman who stole $25,000 from the group on the second to last day was able to come in and say, hey, let's all split it.
I do think that there should have been some sort of repercussions of, if one of you take it, we won't reveal who it is. We will just say, and we won't say how much money it was. We will just say somebody did elect to take some money from the trust, and then make them vote after that. They don't have to say who it was, how much it was, anything like that.
See, I think the problems are more deeply rooted. Like, I think that would be like,
that would have at least made this episode.
This episode. But if they, I mean, again, I think you can't end the show with the trust ceremony, because the problem with the trust ceremony is why actually the trust ceremony is so good, right? Why I like it throughout the entire season is because it only takes one vote to eliminate somebody, and that only one person can be eliminated, and that two votes cancel each other out. If there is a tie, no one gets eliminated. You don't want, like, imagine if we got down here and like Gasper voted for like Tolu and Tolu voted for Jake, and we're like, oh wow. And then it's like, oh, it's a tie. Doesn't count. All five of you share it. It's like that would have felt terrible. So I think, which is actually why I do like them throughout the season, because that is a possibility of happening. We even saw like Julie tried to defend a vote against Jake from Jay and voted Simone. And then that caused her to, there are a lot of great implications with one vote having so much power in the whole tie thing, but it just doesn't work as an ending. It doesn't work as a finale beat. I can't find,
you know what it reminds me of?
I'm trying to listen to our old podcast while you're talking.
Yeah, that's hard to do. What it reminds me of is kind of the problem the Amazing Race has, and the problem that the Amazing Race never fixed. And that's their finales. The whole point of the whole premise of the Amazing Race is that the last team across gets eliminated, or they could hit a road. I get it. Like, they could have the roadblock thing or whatever it is, where you could survive and it's a non-elimination leg. But when you get to the finale of the Amazing Race, what the problem is, the first team across, now I don't care what happens for second and third. So you've made it where you're watching, you want to know who's going to win. You're waiting to see who's going to win. And a lot of times it becomes very obvious very early on in that episode who is pulling away and who's actually going to win the game. And second and third place do not matter at that point. So you watch the winner come across the line, and then you spend another 5 minutes watching the other two finish out their leg. That's no good. But the Amazing Race works overall because it's a race. So you can say they cross the finish line first. Now let's recap the stories. I personally don't think it works, but that's what the show does.
The show's been on for 35
years, so
it's clearly not broken.
But the thing is, like, with the trust, it almost has that same ending type, but because it's not a race and because it's supposed to be a game of greed, we did not see greed actually affect anybody, right? Like, if you're going to get biblical, greed is supposed to be one of the seven deadly sins. deadly sin. Greed should be a deadly sin. Tolu taking the money at the end should be a deadly sin. Like, if you're going to lean into greed, trust, a game of greed, if you're going to lean into greed, you should lean into that aspect of it as a, this will be your undoing. And they didn't do that. And, no, and really, it didn't affect Brian or Julie either.
But I don't think they wanted to say that the show's not trying to tell us that greed is bad. It's more an experiment and looking at what greed does to people and how it works out. And maybe, hey, that they didn't hit that. Clearly, I'm telling you, clearly they wanted a betrayal at the end here. But I think the bigger issue is a betrayal at the end here by one of these players still doesn't make for a great finale. Like, if Tolu eliminates Jake, which is, going into this, who are you thinking Tolu's eliminating? Because they kind of set it up that she is going to eliminate somebody. I mean, they have her go last.
Ryan or Gasper.
Exactly. So I'm sitting there like, it looks like she's going to eliminate Jake. I'm like, if she eliminates Jake, okay, we have four people split the thing and all right. I mean, the fact she didn't eliminate anybody is almost better because it's more surprising. It's more like, wait, this is how it went down. This is the end of the show. Oh, there are only 5 minutes left in this episode of the season. I'm like, I was honestly more shocked. It needs to be whatever. I'm really upset.
It's a bummer because I know that this was a show we were getting. Some interactions, like we had a lot of our fans watching it. And I know we had gotten people into it because we talked about the first four episodes so strongly and everything happened. And it's like, if I was listening to this podcast, if I was just a fan and I listened to the first two podcasts that we did, and then I watched the finale today, I'm not coming and listening to this podcast because there's nothing that even Phil and Will can do to make me feel better about this.
I feel like I'd love to see
some reviews on this though. I'd like to see what those people who at the beginning were really pumping up this show and being like, you know, this is going to be addicting and whatever, and who were really like, I'd love to see what these people are saying about
that. I don't know. I feel like it's kind of funny when, I don't know, like if people are watching, like, wow, that finale sucked. Let's hear what these people have to say who have praised the show. And then it's like, we're kind of ripping into the show a little bit, and that can be fun.
What did you think about okay, so we did actually, you said earlier in this episode that the dramatic part of this for the fans, for the people watching the show, was going to be, did somebody get voted out? The real big drama here was, were Jake and Julie going to get together? And they did. And this was huge, Will. Wasn't this great?
Making out in like the super tease in episode one. So I think them kissing might have been like the least shocking thing. I was like, didn't we see that already? Haven't they already kissed? Because we've seen it in the promos and previews like 500 times by now.
So that's really the only thing that happened in the finale of this show.
Yeah.
It's brutal. I can't help myself.
And from what I heard, from what I'm hearing on the streets, is that it's not like they're together or anything.
Anyone played up for TV.
If anyone is dying to know the greatest love story ever told of Jake and Julie, it didn't last.
They didn't romber it. Ugh, it's a bummer, man. No. It's just like the fact that that had a bigger conclusion than the show actually had is what drives me crazy. And like, I can understand you're going to sit here and be like, look, this is what they have in the can. This is what they have to talk about. This is what they have to do. It's just a snooze, man. And you have to, when you're making a TV show, you have to know, okay, could we get a snooze finale? Cause if we do, we're done. And like, that's what we're going to be talked about for. And like, This felt like a movie that got cut short because they went over budget and the production company said, this isn't going to make us enough, so you're not allowed to finish filming. It's just like, great, we got the... But you do need something. You needed something different. And I don't think it'll get a season two now. I think that probably does this show in because nobody's going to recommend it after the way it ended.
I don't know. Netflix is usually pretty, pretty damn good about giving their shows chances. Like, you rarely see a one and done Netflix show. This goes for reality TV and scripted TV, that they almost always get a season two, it feels like, especially because Netflix tries to build up its library and have as many of those squares as possible and then say new episodes and all that. And then they are notorious for canceling shows after two seasons or three seasons or four. Mm-hmm. Like, they cancel shows very early, but they rarely do it right after one season. And I think enough money, thought, and time was put into this. And I think it's been a conversation starter throughout the reality TV world. And though it didn't, you know, stick the landing here, there's enough interest. I mean, we said we really enjoyed the show for the first 7 episodes. And, you know, I often say this with Survivor, like a good season to me doesn't have to have a good winner or an exciting ending. If I enjoyed it week to week, then that's
imagine
okay.
They didn't pick a winner at the end, though, Will. Imagine no, that. I know, but
I do think there's enough meat left on this bone. It's not that they like did everything they possibly could to make this interesting and it still failed. You can look at this and say, wow, there are things we can explicitly change to ensure a more entertaining result on another season. And I'd love for a season 2 because these things are fixable is what I'm saying. And mm-hmm. You hear this with sports a lot, with a player or with a coach or a system or injuries. It's like the issues are the team that's having all these issues on offense right now. Are these fixable issues or are these just ingrained in the roster and the coaching staff that they have? It's something they talk about all the time here. I feel like these are very, very much fixable and there's enough good stuff here to warrant giving it another go. So you got a filibuster for a little bit. I think I'm at the part of our last podcast where we're talking about it.
You're still listening.
No, I just found it. I'm not still. I keep pausing and skipping. And then
I'm impressed that you're not listening to me, but pretending.
Then I have to listen to you talk while I'm also trying to listen to you and me both talk on the previous episode.
What I'm going to talk about then is I'll talk about other reality TV shows because as much as there might still be meat on this bone, there's no meat left on the finale bone. So the finale bone, I think, in my opinion, is done. But I want to talk about other shows. I talked about The Amazing Race already. Obviously Survivor has the really interesting dynamic of you vote people out, then they turn around and vote for you to win. And then you also have a show like The Traitors where we were talking about kind of how the end game seems a little broken where like, how can they fix that? But The Traitors, we're going to see, they've already fixed a lot of their problems early on in the show. We've seen those changes happen. I would be curious if the trust, if it gets a season 2, or if somebody picks up a show like this, like Amazon Prime picks up a show like The Trust and actually figures out how to end it. I do think that there's a way to make it better. I just think like a show like the Traitors is so much easier to fix because everything that happens before it is a little bit more compelling as well. I was saying early on that I actually found the concept of this show to be more interesting than the Traitors because everybody's kind of on a level playing field. With the Traitors, there are some traitors. They're randomly selected by production. Then they make their moves. So the way you're going to play the game is dependent on whether you're a traitor or not. And a lot of that is random. The Trust, everybody's on a level playing field. So I love that idea. But nobody will pick up a show that's even similar to this now unless they can say there, because the question is going to be, what's your ending? How do you see the end game going? What's going to blow my mind and trick us? When Will and I were talking about our zombie show, which will obviously be coming to a network within the next 5 years. That ending, like we would have to now, if we went to pitch that to somebody, have such a specific ending in mind. So if Netflix is actually looking at this saying, hey, look, we got a lot of views, but word on the street is not good. The dialogue around this show is not good. It's going to come down to can the showrunners, can the creators fix the ending of this show? And I do think that to fix the ending, you have to go back earlier and you have to fix the bones along the way. But the finale, they will never make the mistake of one single trust ceremony again. Even if they end this with a trust ceremony, I think it'll be more akin to the Traitors where there will be numerous votes. There's going to be, maybe that's where more secrets will be revealed. Maybe that's where more information will come out. Maybe the last offer is for $10,000. You can find out if anybody's voted for you. And instead of doing that earlier on, you do that later. And it's for $20,000. You can find out who voted for somebody else and you can start pitting people against each other. This way, there actually are votes happening at the end. I mean, who knows? Maybe for $5,000, you can watch somebody's confessionals about you. Who the hell knows? It doesn't matter. But there's something there that can be done for an offer that would ultimately end in a better situation. But, Will, I don't know if you want to comment on that or if you are more excited about the clip you found.
I didn't find it. I'm still going through it. And it's hard to listen while you're continuing to talk.
I have a nice voice. It's very booming.
It's very loud.
Thank you.
I agree with what you're saying. The bones of the show might need to be fixed. I think this show is relying on this premise, hey, that you're all winners and let's see what happens. And you guys can all agree. If at the very end, the show is then very forceful in saying you have to vote someone out when, you know, for the first 7 episodes or whatever, you know, 90% of the show, if it's you don't have to vote someone out, it's only your greed taking over if you do. And then in the very end, it's like, no, you have to eliminate someone. That doesn't feel right either. So I also, I know, yeah. And I know the offers could have kind of counteracted that anyway on their own. I'm just saying it can't be so heavy handed where it's like, all right, there's five of you left. Figure out which three of you are going to split it, because that's never been the premise of the show. That's never what the show's been trying to do. It's trying to say, if you eliminate someone, your share gets bigger. That's the whole thing. And so what ways can you do what, how can you mess with that? I think if there's more money on the line, each share is bigger. So if there's a $500,000 pot, and there's five of us, we each have $100,000. And if we eliminate somebody, we each add $25,000, to our own thing. I think that's a little bit more, it makes you think. 25 grand's a lot of money. We saw some people take 25 grand offers. I personally think that that's probably still too low for like a premium Netflix show like this, and maybe you just got to up the dollar amounts. That could be something they look at. But when it's just $5,000, when it, like, I guess at the end of that, what, it was 243, they said, or
243, so it was 48.6 is what they all got. So plus Brian got 30, plus Julie got,
I know,
15.
I'm not including that though, but so it's 48.6 for everybody, and then if you do divided by four, it's 60.75. So okay, it's 12. It's a 12K difference. I don't know. I don't know if 12K is gonna make you look like, I don't know. I just feel like that needs to be, if that's what the show wants, you got to offer more money for it. It's got to be, and I know the percentages will stay the same, but the dollar amount won't. And I think that could help.
I agree. I do agree with that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things that need to be looked into. In terms of casting too, I think that needs to be looked into, because I do think that the men played scared the entire game, and not scared necessarily, but the men, for as interesting as it was that the men were so set in their ways against the women who were willing to play from day one, by the end of the game, that became a detriment to this game. And you need to have the guys who are like Brian in their lives, but then also are willing to flip a switch at a moment and say, you know what? I'm getting this person out of here. I don't want them here. Or just for the hell of it, they say, yeah, I'm going to screw everybody over at the end of the game. I mean, there needed to be something like that. And I, as much as I liked Brian, he's definitely an interesting type person to be cast on reality TV, because we never see somebody that sincere cast on reality TV. There's a reason we don't see somebody that sincere cast on reality TV, and it's because they're not going to make the TV worthy moments a lot of the time. The only time Brian did anything against his good natured self was when he was literally said, it was literally said to him, you're either going to take this or somebody else is going to get it. Okay, I'll take it. Well, no shit. So that's really what the biggest problem with like that is. And even Jake, so just like bone dry. And Gasper seemed like he was going to be interesting, and then nothing happened. And Julie and Tolu at least were kind of willing to wheel and deal. That's why we were sitting here and we're like, maybe Tolu is going to actually vote somebody out. But I do think the casting needs to be changed for a show like this moving forward too. I think getting people who are a little bit more desperate, getting it to like a Squid Game type level, right? Don't cast a millionaire on this show. Don't cast a Julie on this show who has 500,000 followers on TikTok. I don't know how much money she makes off of like what she's doing or anything on TikTok, but if you have 500,000 followers on TikTok, you're probably getting some sort of brand deal in some way. Even if it's not much, you're getting something. Like, maybe you do need to find people who are sitting there saying $25,000 would absolutely upend my existence. Like, this would be monumental. And to go from 25 grand to 250 grand, like, you need somebody whose family never made 250 grand. Like, growing up, their parents were making 80 grand combined, or 40 grand, or 60 grand, whatever it is. Like, that's the kind of person you need who's so hungry for this that they would be willing to do it, because that's when you're going to get into the element that is the game of greed. If you're going to put a game of greed, you got to actually have it become a game of greed. And I don't care how much Julie said she grew up poor and all that stuff. I know that that's true, but I don't think Julie is bad off now. And I don't think Tolu is bad off now. That's the difference.
That is a really good point, that like, basically just by coming on these shows and like lasting a long time, especially if it's a hit show or a show on Netflix, pretty much any Netflix show, people instantly become famous. Not famous, but like enough where you can like make a little cash on the side. People often turn this into their careers. I mean, they go on one Netflix show and then they become a reality TV star, especially with so many shows these days are bringing back people who have been on other shows. That's like, we see it with The Traitors, we see it with House of Villains, we see it, I'm on The Challenge, everyone's coming back all the time. All-Star Shore is another one where they bring in just random people from reality shows. Every show has an All-Star season. So it's like, there's enough money out there that I feel like the money in the show needs to be more substantial, or you get people that like can't really capitalize like on their, you know, they can't get Instagram fame because they don't have an Instagram account. You know, like Brian is like, yeah, I don't have brand deals because I don't have Instagram. I think that's a good point. I am getting very close. I feel like
I love it.
Finally,
I'm doing great now because I'm talking this out.
I know you are, and I'm trying to still listen so I can respond to you. Yeah. I heard you talking about the brand deals thing and what Tolu has 500,000 followers. I mean,
Julie does. I don't know what Tolu has now, but Julie I know does. Here, I can look it all up because Julie.
I'm pretty sure Julie is doing another show. Like she's already like, you know.
I mean, she's great TV.
On her way to being a star, like we're talking about.
She has 30,000 followers on Instagram, and on TikTok. Let me see if I can get in here. On TikTok, Julie has. Oh my god! I have to put a puzzle together. What is going on? I just want to click it. Yeah, I don't know because there's so many like fraud ones that came up first. Anyway, but she has 30,000 over on Instagram. Look, and we have less than 2,000 followers on Instagram right now, or maybe we're over. I don't really know, but we're around that 2,000 mark. She's doing pretty well with her Instagram following and her TikTok following, if that's what she's really focusing her effort and attention on. Okay, like that is definitely something that she could be making. I'm not saying she's over here making six figures, but you could be making $30,000-$40,000 a year if you're really putting the effort into this stuff. You could be making more than that. That's how clueless I am on it. But like, if that's what she's doing, I mean, I don't know if you guys heard this or not, but she's really hot. That's what she talks about a lot on this show. And like, there's going to be people who want to do brand deals with her. So do them. But I think that this is a tricky show because you have to find those people who are willing to be greedy because they're poor. They're poor enough off. Not well enough off. They're the opposite of that. You need to find the people who are in that zone, but also not just doing a show like this to become reality TV stars. Because like, if Julie's now going to go on another show, Julie wasn't playing this as a game of greed. Julie was playing this is the start of my career, which good. Like, I'm not faulting her for that. I think at this point, you're very smart. If you get an opportunity to be on a reality TV show, be thinking about the fact that you could be on another and another and another and another. And I mean, there are lucrative deals out there to be made if you're doing this, but she's going to ham up what she needs to ham up. I'm going to flirt. I'm going to make out with the hot guy. I'm going to give you great confessionals about like all this stuff. And I will be that kind of back and forth personality of, I might take it, I might not. Oh, and by the way, here's my backstory. That's so depressing. My family never hugged me. Like if you're watching that as a reality TV producer, you're like, great. Let's see what she's up to now, because that's an easy sell for us. So what do you got, Will? You smiled. I don't know if you're happy about
that. I'm still not that quite there. I hear you completely taking over the podcast and rambling. So I'm like really stoked that you're able.
I'm really good at this.
You're super talented at just like talking about reality TV. And I'm hearing like flashes of words, but then I'm hearing your own voice back. So it's like, I'm trying to kind of parse what's Phil in the moment and what's Phil and what I'm actually trying to listen to. So this, we should have figured this out, I think, before. I would hate to end this podcast without bringing up, it was something like The Traitors. Maybe we can just talk it through.
Yeah, go ahead. You talk now, because I just feel like I did a 20-minute podcast about myself. The fact that I just looked up Julie, I had to find her last name. I had to find her on Instagram. Then I had to Google that on TikTok.
And I still haven't found the damn thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm over here working my ass off. And I have to do another podcast with you after this, because we're going to do the Phil and Will show. So my voice is going to be killing me.
Stick around for the Phil and Will show.
Yeah, that's coming up right after this too. So if you're interested, tune into that. That is literally happening minutes after this.
I think we had something where it was like, if you guys all agree to split the money, then it's going to get sent to Jewel's or something.
Yeah, we did. That was the prisoner's dilemma element. If like all of you vote, then the money goes to somebody else or something.
Yeah, it was. We definitely were getting some prisoner dilemma, but I don't think. I remember we were talking about it, and I think you had brought up like Final Two. We were talking about Johnny Bananas and Challenge and like the split or steal type thing, or will you do that? And I thought we landed on something that would happen earlier at 5 or at 4. Like, hey, they're going to banish one more person. And then at 4, it was going to be, I thought we had something pretty clever. And is this ringing any bells for you, Phil?
No, I feel like pretty much all we came up with was,
maybe it wasn't that good. Maybe we never got there.
Maybe that's why you can't find it, because we actually aren't as intelligent as you like to think we are. So you're just kind of, you're misremembering. You're thinking that something good happened when nothing good happened. Any of these people in this show that you would want to see on reality TV again, like on like one of these other shows, do you think any of them actually are good for competition style shows? Or do you think that they're pretty much just like in a house kind of people?
I could see Tolu coming back for something.
Mm-hmm. That's the only one I think for a competition style show. I think some of these people could appear in like those shows where they're not really too much competition, or the competition's like thrown in fakely. But I feel like Tolu is the only one who could actually like go and compete on a show like The Traitors or House of Villains or something like that.
I mean, Julie's already, I think. I don't know if that's actually true. I thought I saw that. I don't know. I think those would probably be the only two. I mean, Gasper, I feel like he had like a good run on the show, but didn't like jump off the screen. Mm-hmm. Brian's not going to, you don't want him for like a really competitive thing. Like he's like, it kind of works here, or maybe it didn't work here as we're talking about. Trying to think anyone else. It was a weird group of people, man. It wasn't like your classic, which I like. I think everyone kind of like,
Simone and Jay are so weird. Like, how did you cast them?
And then like even Lindsay was like, she was like so irritable. She would just like freak out and raise her voice. But then she was also like very, she's playing both sides and like kind of strategic. It was a kooky group. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah, I was just disappointed in the end. That's really all I got, man. I don't know. We dragged this out for almost 45 minutes. I don't have much more to say about this. It should have been an email. It should have. Honestly, our 42 minutes that we just podcasted about the finale is more intriguing than the 51 minutes that Netflix sold to people, essentially. Like, this is more interesting. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know. Watch that and then listen to us and tell me what you like more, because I'm pretty sure we're better. And I'm not even being arrogant there. I'm not sitting here trying to fight to the top of the line and say I'm the smartest one here. That also happened in The Trust. That was when The Trust was actually good. I don't know. If there's a season two, I almost feel like we need to podcast it just to see if they fix anything. But if they don't and it's the same show and then somehow it gets a season three, you can count me out for that one. That can be Will talking to himself, because I also pretty much just talked to myself for the last like 20 minutes. So, I mean, it's
kind of. Yeah, I still haven't found it. And it's funny hearing you say like this, you're talking so highly of the show in the last podcast. Yeah,
I was.
It's so funny.
Sometimes you think the ending's going to be good and then it's not. And that sucks.
We toss out some crazy ideas. Like I think a lot of it that we kind of missed the point. And again, I don't know. I feel like we landed something better, but it's like forcing them to vote in some way, which doesn't feel like that's in the bones of the show. Like the show at the start is telling them that they don't have to do that. So I think on a season two, it's gotta be a game of greed. It's gotta be offer based. You gotta increase that offer. You know, you're going to get 1.5 shares if you're the one who kicks someone out. Or something.
Maybe you get their share. If you kick somebody out, you just get their share.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gotta be the stakes have gotta be higher, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I hope I didn't not find it and then we're sitting here. But I'll leave in a comment if I do end up finding what our solution would have been.
Dope. There it
is. I like how I spent 10 minutes trying to, you know, at least just trying to scrub through and find it.
Yeah, Will's not your.
How bad this episode was, though. That there wasn't enough intrigue to talk about. That we had to go back to our podcast we already did to find out. Fun podcast, though. I think I agree with you. I think this was more fun than watching the episode.
I agree. So that's it. That's it for our Trust coverage. Make sure, like I said, right after this, we're going to be talking about the Phil and Will show. Which
we're not talking about the film.
We're not talking. What the hell am I doing?
We are the film. Yeah,
I'm so out of it because I'm like brain dead a little bit from having to talk so much. The oxygen's not getting there. But we're the Phil and Will show. We're gonna be doing that Phil and Will Bowl is happening this weekend. So we'll be talking about the Niners versus the Lions, Baseball Hall of Fame, random other stuff. We kind of just go wherever the conversation wants to go once we get into a topic. So it's kind of fun. Also, tomorrow night, we'll be doing the Traders. Episode 5 comes out. So we actually get to talk about something that has to be more exciting than the finale of The Trust. If it's not, the Traders really messed up. But obviously, that airs at 9 o'clock Eastern. So we'll probably be coming live around 10:15 Eastern time, maybe a little bit later. We'll see how that goes. But follow us on social media to find out where all that is. Survivor Specialist on Instagram and Twitter. And that's it. That's what we got. Become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. If somehow you missed any of our other episodes, but we're listening to this one, go check out all of our other stuff. We've been putting out podcasts like crazy this month. And I'm not mad to be getting my Wednesdays back a little bit instead of doing another week episode of The Trust, which was only 1 week episode, but this is how pissed off I am about how this ended. So we'll see y'all later.
See ya. Phil and Will show next.